Hey everyone, welcome to the CLEAR Framework Training exclusively for BC Stack buyers. I'm always excited to present trainings and workshops for BC Stack. I think Dan and Rachel do such an amazing job with that event every year, and I'm always so proud to participate. So I'm glad you guys were able to join me today. I apologize for having to reschedule our originally scheduled meeting, which was a couple of weeks ago. I had an issue with my car that needed to be taken care of in a timely manner because, of course, it happened just as the warranty is about to run out, as it does, right? So that's what happened there. So I'm going to share my screen, and I am going to kick off the call here. So let me share that. Let me know if you guys can see my mind map there. Zoom says you can. Caitlin says all good. Thank you, Caitlin. All right, let's start today's call with a little bit of housekeeping. So first of all, who the heck am I, right? I think that there's several of you here on the call who I do know, but there are probably some new people on the call who are new to me. So my name is Cindy Bidar. I am your host for this call. I am a former virtual assistant. I've worked full-time online running my own business since 2012 was when I quit my job and went full-time online. So I've been kind of doing this online thing for a long time. I started out as a virtual assistant. And then in 2017, I decided to release all of my virtual assistant clients and instead turned my efforts to creating online courses. And I have an online membership as well. And I've been doing that for the past 6 years now. So it's been a fun ride. So that's who I am. I live in southern Arizona, where it is monsoon season, and we are currently having one. We don't get thunderstorms usually during the day. It's usually in the middle of the night. So this is kind of unusual, but it is thundering and lightning out there like crazy. I don't know if you guys can hear it. But all that to say, in case I disappear, it's because my power went out. So hopefully that won't happen, but if it does, you'll know what happened. So I want to start out by saying, yes, there will be a replay of this call. You don't have to worry about taking notes unless you want to. I like to take notes while I listen. It helps keep me active, but if you don't want to, that's okay too. Yes, I will send you the mind map someone always asks, and that will always go out to you guys. So I will send that to you in a PDF or in an editable version that you can use FreeMind to edit if you like. And you can place your questions in the chat as we go, or feel free to raise your hand. We're pretty informal around here, so you can raise your hand, you can unmute yourself. Feel free to ask in any way that makes the most sense for you. We will have time at the end of the call for kind of a more formal Q&A and maybe even some live coaching where we can talk about your business individually if that's what you like. So with that out of the way, what are we talking about today? We are talking about what I am calling the CLEAR framework. And this is a term that I developed. It encompasses the five pillars that you need to establish, the five elements of a thriving online business. So we're going to go through each of the pillars. We're going to talk about what they are. We're going to talk about how they work together, how you can get started on each one. And then, like I said, we will have Q&A time, and we will also have a time for live coaching at the end of the call. I'm planning to go about 90 minutes. Hopefully we won't go any longer than that. Hopefully we won't go any shorter than that with the thunder and lightning going on outside. So that is our agenda. So with that said, let's get started with the first element or the first pillar in the CLEAR framework, which is content. This is the thing that when I work with private clients, private coaching clients, when I work with people in my six-figure systems program, I am always advising them that they need to be creating and publishing content on a regular basis, on a regular schedule. Typically, that's once a week, is my recommendation. At a bare minimum, you should be publishing content once a week. And ultimately, somebody always asks me, why content first? Why are we doing this first? Shouldn't we have something to sell first? Shouldn't we be, creating our social profiles first? Shouldn't we be, I don't know, freelancing first? There's a lot of different things that you could be doing. So why do I recommend that you create content as that first step, as that first pillar? There's a couple of reasons for that. There's a quote by Joan Didion. She was a writer, quite famous journalist, writer of the 20th century. And Joan Didion said, I don't know what I think until I write it down. And I find that to be really, really true when you are building a business, when you are a creator who is looking to maybe create courses or be a coach or anything of that type. What happens is the more content you create, you will find that you refine your thinking, you refine your strategies, you develop your processes more deeply. The more you talk about them, the more you write about them, the more content you create around them. So it's really easy when you're first starting out to, to kind of go out there and just, I don't want to say parrot, but you read a lot of information, you consume a lot of information, you take a lot of courses, you listen to podcasts, you read blogs, you watch videos, all of this information is coming into you, and you can repeat it back, and you can take that information and you can kind of distill it and you can repeat it back and you can help people in that way. But until you really start doing that and you do that a lot, you're not going to really discover what you think, what your unique take is on it, what your unique perspective is. You're not going to have that, we call it a USP, unique selling proposition. You're not going to really come into your own until you create content around it, until you really start to think about it on that deeper level that only comes from publishing content. So that's one of the big reasons why I feel and why I advise all of my clients that they should be creating content first. Content also gives you a feedback engine. It gives you a way to start connecting with an audience and to start hearing what they think about what you are saying, what their perspective is, what they take in from what it is that you are sharing with your audience. So feedback prevents you from creating things in a vacuum. And believe me, I have created things in a vacuum and it never goes well. I've told the story before of the very first course I ever created. This goes back, I don't know, 10 years or so. I was first getting started online and I thought I wanted to create courses, and it was a total flop because I was creating in a vacuum. I didn't take the time to really define and refine my thought process, to really refine my teaching process. I wasn't getting any feedback from anyone. I wasn't publishing content. I just went out there and I said, I think this is what people need. And I created a course about it. And of course, it flopped because it wasn't what people needed or wanted. So getting that feedback from a potential audience is valuable. It's going to help you from creating something to sell that ultimately doesn't sell because it's not what people wanted. Creating content first allows you to build an audience so that you have somebody to sell to, right? So it's not just bad enough that you would create something to sell in a vacuum. Then you have to sit here and say, well, I have this thing. Now what? Now how do I sell it? How do I get it in front of people? If you create content first, then not only are you getting that feedback and you are getting the insight from connecting with that audience and getting feedback on your content so that you know that what you are creating is valuable to them, but you also have an audience that you can then sell your product to. Another thing that content does, and it took me a while to discover this, and it's really almost magical, but content breeds content. the more content you create, the more ideas you will have. And for people who are not used to creating content, this can be really kind of mind-blowing, right? It certainly was for me when I was first getting started with content creation. But the more that I create, and this includes courses, it includes workshops in my membership, it includes, you know, content that I publish as my podcast or articles or whatever, emails that I write, the more content I create, the more ideas I come up with. You would think that eventually that well would run dry, but it never, ever does. Because if you are creating content, you're getting feedback, you're listening to your audience, you're engaging with them, then new ideas are coming at you all the time, and new ways to connect your thoughts and different ways to think about things. And all of that leads to more and more content ideas. So the more you publish, the more ideas you are going to have. The last reason I want you to publish content first, to make that your first pillar when you are just getting started online, is because if you run out of steam, if you get bored in the first 3 weeks, then it's really easy for you to say, you know what, this probably wasn't for me. And that's okay, right? Otherwise, we run the risk of thinking, oh, I'm going to be a life coach, right? And we take all the time and put all the money and all the energy into setting up a website and building out a coaching program and writing a fancy sales page and, you know, all of this stuff. And then we start creating content around it. And it's like, yeah, I'm not really excited about this, but I've put all of this energy into it. I've put all of this money into it. I've put all of this effort into it. So I need to keep going. If you create the content first, if you start talking about what it is you want to do, if you start talking about what you're passionate about, where your interests lie, then you will know if you are really interested enough to continue on that path. A really good example of that, I think, is my business. I have been talking about online marketing for, like I said, 6 years now. I've been doing this. I don't ever get bored. I don't ever get tired of talking about it. I don't ever run out of ideas. But in the beginning, when I was first creating content, if I had, then I would have known right away that this was probably not the right path for me to follow. Checking in on the chat, just to make sure you guys don't have anything to say. Looks like all quiet over there. So that's why content comes first. Now, when I'm talking about content, what exactly am I talking about? I am talking about choosing one content format, and there are three of them. There's written, there's audio, and there's video. Choose one platform or one format that your content is going to take. I'm going to recommend, if you are brand new, that you stick with written content because it is the easiest and the least expensive and the least amount of effort. If you are super passionate about a different format, maybe you really love YouTube or you are a podcast listener, big fan of podcasts like I am, maybe you want to go for audio or video instead. But if you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm not really passionate about any particular format, stick with written. It is the easiest one to get started. It is still legit in the online space. It is still a valuable, valuable resource for you to be creating, and it is still going to give you that feedback. It is still going to help you refine your processes and your thinking. It is still going to help you build an audience. So don't think that, you know, oh, blogging is dead or articles are dead or whatever. It's still legit. Written is still legit. So when I'm talking about written content, what are we talking about? We're talking about blog posts that you publish on your website or on other websites. We're talking about articles that maybe you post on Medium or LinkedIn or on Substack, any kind of longer form written content. And when I say longer form, I'm talking longer than a social media post. So I'm not talking about, you know, captions on Instagram or things like that. I'm talking about long form written content, say 500 words and up, as an example. Not saying it has to be 500 words, but that's just kind of my baseline, right? So longer form written content published on a consistent basis. The other form of content that you might want to consider, the second, I call this the second easiest, is audio. This is podcasting. podcasting is, it's really the only form of audio content that I'm aware of. Maybe there's other ones, but podcasting is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room, right? This is where you record an audio file, you speaking or you interviewing a guest, and then you publish it. You publish the RSS feed for that podcast, and then it is distributed through channels like Spotify or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts. I think Google Podcasts is out of, I think they went out of business. There's a lot of different podcast directories, but Spotify, Apple, and Stitcher are the big ones. Those are the ones that you really want to go after. It's free to get published on those platforms. They're just the distribution channel. So when you open up your smartphone and you open your podcast app, those podcast distribution channels are the ones that bring that audio into your phone that allow you to subscribe and you can, listen right there on your phone. So podcasting, like I said, is probably the second easiest thing to get started with. All you need is a microphone like this one. This is the one that I use for my podcast, and a way to record audio, and that's it. And then you upload it to a media host, and you tell the podcast distribution channels where that file is, and they do the rest. It's really pretty simple, and it's getting easier all the time to publish a podcast. So if you're not super into written content, although I will say, even if you're publishing a podcast, that requires a bit of writing at the beginning, right? You have to write the episode. So if you're not super into writing, then an audio podcast might be a top choice for you in terms of content format. The third one then is video. And when we're talking about video, we are talking about long form video. We're not talking about short form like TikTok videos. We're talking long form video published on YouTube or published as a live stream. And the reason that this one is kind of last on my list is because this is the one that takes the most amount of effort, the most amount of skills, the most amount of upfront investment. So you'll need, some kind of video capture. You need a video camera. You'll still need a microphone. You're going to need a way to edit that video. You're going to need the skills to do that. You're going to need things like video thumbnails and all of the things that go into publishing those videos. So that's, a bit more intensive, especially if you're just starting out. It can be a big stretch to say, you know what, I've never done this online thing, but I'm going to start a YouTube channel. That's a bit much. So I would recommend, if you are just starting out, that you stick with written or audio. But hey, if you are adventurous and you love a good challenge, then by all means, go with video instead. The point I am making here, I'll open that up. The point that I am making here is that you should start with one content format and you should commit to publishing within that format on a regular and frequent basis. That's how you start to grow your online business. So, how do you get started with content? It's pretty easy, actually. You choose a channel. We've already talked about that. You choose your format. Is it going to be written? Is it going to be audio? Is it going to be video? And the way that you can do this, if you are kind of like, well, I don't even know what to choose. First of all, you can pay attention to where your audience is most likely to be. Are they listening to podcasts? Are they watching YouTube? Are they reading blog posts? Are they, subscribe to Medium? Are they hanging out on LinkedIn? Where are they? That will help inform what format of content that you are creating and where you are publishing it. And if you don't know where your audience is, then ask yourself where you are. Where are you consuming content related to your niche? Because hopefully you are consuming content related to your niche. For most of us, our ideal audience is somewhere just a few steps behind us, right? So I am talking to you. I am helping you to start a new online business or to grow an existing online business. And this is somewhere that I was just a few years ago. So when I'm thinking about who my ideal audience is and where they're hanging out, it's very likely where I am. It's very likely in the same places where I am looking for information. So if you don't know exactly where your ideal audience is and where you should be publishing content to get in front of them, then ask yourself where you are, because that's a really good place to start. So that's the first thing you do, choose your channel. The next thing that you're going to do is brainstorm ideas. And this is really important. Remember, I said earlier that you don't want to be 3 weeks into this and decide that you hate it and you are bored and don't want to have to talk anymore about this topic. So brainstorming ideas, coming up with a list of at least 25 topics to cover is going to help prevent that. And if you're stuck, then you start to ask yourself, okay, well, what questions are people asking? What are other people not saying in this space that I think is important? What are other people saying that I disagree with? That's one of my favorite questions to ask. What are people saying that I disagree with? And then I can create a bunch of content around that. And what are other content creators kind of glossing over? They're talking about it, but only on a very surface level. And how can I dig deeper into that? And I want to make sure that you don't get hung up on this thought that other people are already talking about this and there's no place for my voice in this space, because that is absolutely not true. There is always room for different opinions. There is always room for your unique experience or your expertise to come in and say, you know what? Everybody's talking about this, but I see it that way instead. That's going to be valuable to someone. It's going to be valuable to your ideal audience. So don't look at all of the other content that's out there published in your space and say, oh, I can't possibly create content. And I'll give you the perfect example of this is the space that I am in. I teach people how to start a business online. You can't find more content published than how to start a business online. There is no more saturated niche than that one, unless it's maybe health related. I can go either way on that. But in terms of the sheer volume of content that is published online, how to start a business is right up there near the top. And here I am talking to you, teaching you how to do this, because I have been consistently publishing content and building an audience over the last 10 years. So don't let that get in your head that there's no space for you in this niche because everybody else is already doing it, because everybody else is not you. The third thing you do is commit to a schedule. This is really, really important. I'm going to ask you to commit to weekly at a minimum. More content equals faster business growth. So if you can commit to more, do it. But don't overcommit yourself from the beginning. I see this. This is kind of a danger zone. Don't overcommit from the beginning, because I see a lot of people do this. They'll say, oh, I'm going to publish every day for a year or whatever. And that leads to burnout. So don't do that to yourself. Commit to publishing once a week and get that process in place, get the gears going, get your ideas flowing, and then look at increasing your publishing frequency if that makes sense at that time. Just keep in mind that the more content you create, the more content you publish, the faster your business will grow. And then the last step is just to hit the publish button. That's it. I included this on here because this is hard for some people. I have coaching clients who really struggle with this. They spend all of their time creating amazing content and then talk themselves out of hitting the publish button because they feel that it's not good enough, that it doesn't have the right voice, that it's not valuable enough, whatever reason. Don't let that get into your head either. Click the publish button. You have to hit publish. Tracy, when I'm talking about publishing content, I am talking about publishing podcast episodes, publishing blog posts, publishing articles, publishing YouTube videos. I'm not talking about publishing books or reports or things like that. So that is the first pillar in the framework. That's content. That is the thing that you are going to devote most of your energy to at this point in your business. This is the thing that's going to help your business grow. It's the thing that's going to help you grow as a creator. It's the thing that's going to inform you of what your ideal audience wants and needs from you. It's going to tell you where your audience is, where they're hanging out, who they're interacting with. And it's going to lead to the second pillar, which is to build your email list. The reason, another big reason why I love content first is because when you get to the build your email list point, and it doesn't have to take very long, but when you get to your build your email list point, then you can use that content as an invitation to engage more with your audience. And the way that works is you create a simple lead magnet, add an opt-in form or a link in every piece of content that you create. That's it. Then whenever someone finds that content online, whether it's a YouTube channel or a YouTube video or a podcast episode or a blog post that you wrote for Medium or a post that you wrote on LinkedIn, whenever someone comes across that, they read it, they listen to it, they watch it, they think, oh, this person gets me. They know what they're talking about. How can I learn more from them? And there's the link or there's the form where they can get on your email list, where you are offering them valuable information for free in exchange for an email address. And this does not have to be anything elaborate. It doesn't have to be a webinar. It doesn't have to be a video sequence. It can be something very, very simple, just a simple PDF, a template, a checklist of some kind, a resource guide of some kind. The point is to just include it in every single piece of content. This is how your list will grow. This is how you will add new people to your sphere of influence, because when they come across you through other channels, they want to know more from you, they will have an easy way to do that. Now, if you want to get more advanced, you can actually create what's called content upgrades. This is when you create something specific for a piece of content. So maybe you write a blog post about how to declutter a kitchen. And at the end of that blog post, you say, get my checklist to make sure that you've covered all the bases. And then you have a checklist specifically about decluttering a kitchen. That's a content upgrade. But you don't have to do that. You can use the same opt-in offer on every piece of content. And you can use different opt-in offers on different pieces of content. Don't overthink it. Just get started slowly with creating a simple lead magnet and including the link or the form to that lead magnet in every single piece of content that you publish. This is how your content leads to growing your email list. Now, there's a couple of different styles of email list. The traditional style is what you probably think of when you think of email list. This is where you have an account with a platform such as ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign or MailerLite or AWeber, whatever it is, and you create an opt-in form. And when people add their name and their address to the opt-in form, your platform automatically responds with an automated message that says, thanks for subscribing, and here's the gift that you were offered. So it delivers the welcome email and the opt-in offer that you, or the opt-in lead magnet that you offered them. So that's kind of the traditional style. That's typically what we think of when we think of building an email list. There is a more recent style that people have really started embracing in the last few years, and that's the newsletter style. And those are handled on platforms like Substack or LinkedIn, or Beehive is another one. These are a little bit different. They can work in a similar way. The only downside with the newsletter style, with the newsletter platforms like this, I guess the benefit of them is they're free to use. So you can build a newsletter on Substack at no cost to you, right? The downside is you don't have those email addresses. You don't have control over them. You don't own them. Whereas if you are building a more traditional style email list on ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign or a platform like that, that's an asset that your business owns. That is a, it is a, It is a list of people that you can reach out to at any time for any reason. And the newsletter styles, the Substacks, the LinkedIns, the Beehives don't operate in quite that same way. So when I'm talking about building an email list, I am most often talking about this traditional style. I think there's a place for this newsletter style. I'm actually working on starting one myself, but I don't think that for those of us on this call, for the course creators, for the coaches, I don't think that newsletter style is really the best place to start. I think I would stick with the more traditional style. Sign up for ConvertKit, sign up for MailerLite. They all have free options to get started if budget is a concern. And they will, you know, you can do a lot with those free plans until you start to grow and you are ready to invest more into your email list. So building an email list is the second pillar of the CLEAR framework. Caitlin has a good question. They ask, do you have any opinions about self-hosted email marketing? I've seen some free options, but worry about deliverability. Yes, deliverability is going to be a problem. I would never go with a free, like a WordPress plugin or something like that. I would never use that for my email marketing. It's too valuable of an asset to trust to a free tool. I just wouldn't do it. And you're going to spend all of your time managing things like unsubscribes and deliverability and all of that kind of nonsense that goes along with it. If you're, this is going to get out in the weeds a little bit, but just as an example, if your IP address, so your web host address, if it gets blacklisted by an email service provider, if it gets blacklisted by Yahoo, if it gets blacklisted by Gmail, something like that, if they decide for whatever reason that you're sending spam and they say, we're not going to accept email from you anymore. And it may not even be you. It may be somebody else that's hosted on that same IP address. This is particularly true for shared hosting platforms where you're on one IP address with 50 or 60 or 100 different websites. If one of those websites is sending spam emails, that IP address may get blacklisted. And then it's your responsibility to get it unblacklisted. And that is really, really difficult to do. So when you host your email list with a service like ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign or MailerLite, it's their job to keep their IPs clean. That's why they give you so much grief about buying lists. That's why they want to approve your list if you're bringing it over from another provider. That's why they want to know where those people came from. That's why all the questions, because it's so important for them to keep those IP addresses clean so that they can keep their deliverability up. And that becomes your responsibility if you're hosting your own email list. So it's a headache that I would not recommend anyone take on. Good question. Good question. All right. So that's pillar number two, build an email list. You're going to create content first. You're going to use that content to build an email list. Then what? What do you do once you start building an email list? Well, you are creating content. You're getting feedback from people. You're building an email list. Maybe you've got 20 people or 200 people or, you know, 1500 people on your email list. The next step is to engage with your community, with your colleagues, and with your competitors. So let's talk about that. Engaging with your community, this seems pretty obvious, right? You need to be emailing your list. You need to be talking to your people. You need to be opening those lines of communications. You need to participate in groups. You need to continue to publish content, answer comments, talk to the people who are reading your content or who are listening to your podcast or who are watching your YouTube videos. So those are kind of the bare minimum. We're going to email the list. And again, I want you to choose a schedule that you can stick to. Don't worry about the best day or the best time to be sending emails. Just pick the best day and the best time for you and then stick to that schedule. I recommend if you are newer to email marketing, stick to a once a week schedule. You can eventually work your way up to more emails if it's something that your audience would appreciate and enjoy. I tend to be a mostly daily email marketer. That doesn't work in every niche, in every situation. Maybe it will work for you, maybe it won't work for you, but at least once a week is my recommendation. And in those emails, you want to be creating a personal connection. There's a lot of talk about, you know, subject lines, how to get people to open your email. And subject lines are important, but who the email comes from is even more important. And that when somebody sees an email from, you know, from Caitlin or from Kathy or from Chris or Amanda, when somebody sees an email from that person, you want to open it because it's from you, not because you picked a clever subject line. And the way you do that is by creating that personal connection. You write stories and examples from your own life. You share your successes and your failures. You talk about personal events and happenings in your life. You ask questions and invite them to reply to you. In other words, you are emailing as if you are emailing your friend or your aunt or your sister, not as if you are emailing just a random group of people, right? So creating that personal connection with your emails is the first step to engaging with your audience. And of course, you also want to offer lots and lots of value to your email subscribers, right? You want to answer their questions. Boy, I wrote a lot in here, didn't I? So you answer their questions. Pay attention to what they're asking. Pay attention to the conversation that's going on in the world. And if they're not asking you, then you can find those conversations in other places. You can go to Facebook groups that other people manage. You can look on Quora. You can look in blog posts, in FAQ pages. You can use Google. There's a lot of different ways to find out what questions your audience is asking, and answering those in your email is a really, really great way to create a lot of value. Another thing you can do is publish tips and strategies that they can use. Those quick wins, those, you know, if somebody walks away from your email with something that they can do that creates a result for them, that takes them one step closer to achieving their goal, that is golden. You have just created a super fan. So providing those tips and strategies that they can use is a really powerful way to engage with your audience as well. I said earlier that you are probably just a few steps ahead of your ideal audience. I'm just a few steps ahead of my ideal audience. And if you are learning, and you should be learning new things all the time, share what you're learning with your audience. Share what you found out. Share that article that you read. Share that book that you discovered. Share that webinar that you watched, what you learned on that webinar, the insights, the takeaways. Sharing that information with your audience is a really good way to engage with them too. Don't be afraid to introduce them to other creators either. That is another really stellar way to offer lots and lots of value. I can't tell you how many new people I have met through the email lists of other people that I appreciate, that I enjoy getting emails from, whose emails I open all the time because of, not because of the subject line, but because of who is sending the email. And I know that they always send me great value. And I've met loads of other people through those emails. And the last way to offer value to your email subscribers is by making offers to them. This is a struggle for a lot of people to understand, but I want you to know that when you make product recommendations to your audience, you are helping them to make a better buying decision. You are serving them in that way. And it is important because they may be seeing other people recommending products. They may be seeing other people with different opinions recommending products that you don't recommend. They may be seeing other people make recommendations for products that you have used and that you love, and they're getting that information from these other people and not from you. And they're using that to make good buying decisions. And you can be a part of that mix. You can become that trusted partner for them when they are looking for something to help solve a problem or to make their life easier in some way. You can become a part of that solution by making offers to them, either of your own products or of affiliate products or tools that you are using or, books that you read, whatever it is. Making those offers to them is offering value. It is providing value to your subscribers. So don't be too shy to make offers. I'll tell you this, I tell everybody this, we are in business to make money, and making offers to your email list is how you make money. So don't be too shy to do it. Don't think that you are annoying people. Don't think that you are that you don't have the right to make offers. We are in business to make money, and making offers to your email subscribers is a form of service to them. So don't be afraid to make offers. Oh, I got lost. Where am I? Community building. All right. So that's email list. Now, another thing that you can do to engage with your community is to participate in groups. And the keyword here is to participate in groups. This is not the time. We just talked about making offers to your email list. But what I often see people doing is making offers, making drive-by offers in groups. So they drop into a Facebook group and they tell you all about, here's my affiliate link for this program and that program and some other program, and here's this course I just created. And they're not actually offering any value. There's a difference here, right? These drive-by offers do not offer value. The way I'm going to recommend that you engage with your community in groups like this is to participate, answer questions, be helpful. That's it. That's all you get to do in these groups. And keep your ear to the ground. Listen to what's going on. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to their problems. Listen to the solutions that other people are offering. This is all going to engage or feed back into the content that you are creating. I got to speed it up. We're going to run out of time. And you're going to continue to publish content. You're going to respond to comments on your and other creators' content, and you're going to use the questions that come up as content ideas. So it all feeds back to it into content again. So can you guys see how that works with we're kind of building a flywheel here, right? So you are creating content, you're creating engagement, you're building your list, and you're using that engagement and your list to create more content, which then creates more engagement, and it starts to grow over time. I also want you to engage with your colleagues. These are the thought leaders in your niche. They are the thought leaders in related niches. Develop and maintain those professional relationships and friendships. Attend their events, consume and share their content. Remember, I said that you can be introducing your audience to other creators. This is a really good way to build those relationships by sharing the content other people are creating with your audience. Engage with them on social media. Look for thought leaders in related niches. So if you're in the cat niche, related niches are dog lovers or pet store owners. If you're in the gardening niche, then a related niche might be bird watchers or home improvement bloggers. So look for those colleagues, look for those places where you can create those professional relationships, professional connections, even friendships down the road, right? I have so many friends online who are in related niches to what I do. And we all support one another and we all share an audience and we all promote one another. And it's a beautiful thing. There's a saying that says, a rising tide lifts all boats. And being connected and engaged with your colleagues like that is a really good way to get your boat lifted a little bit as well. And don't ignore your competitors. This is a superpower. If you can connect with your competitors, build those relationships with your competitors, use this superpower wisely, your business will grow. Everyone benefits when competitors share audiences. And too often, what I see people or what I feel that people are thinking is, if I talk about my competitor, if I, you know, if I if I send an email and I share that my competitor is teaching this thing or talking about this thing that I also talk about, then this person, my audience, is going to go over there and they're going to become my competitor's customer instead, and I'm going to lose them. And that doesn't happen. I promise it doesn't happen. Number one, if that subscriber is going to leave you for greener pastures, they're going to leave you whether you introduce them to that pasture or not. Number two, there are 8 billion people on this planet. There are plenty, plenty of customers and clients and students to go around. There is more than enough for everyone. So don't think about this from a scarcity mindset. Think about it from a place of abundance where there's plenty of customers to go around. There are plenty of subscribers to go around. And introducing your subscribers again to a competitor, or sharing what your competitors are doing, or even promoting your competitors, is an act of service to your subscribers. So don't be afraid to collaborate, to engage with, to build relationships with your competitors. You will often see me, if you guys have been on my mailing list for a while, you will often see me even promoting products that are in direct competition with my own. Not just the creator, but the product itself, right? I have promoted email marketing courses, even though I sell email marketing courses. I have promoted affiliate marketing courses, even though I sell affiliate marketing courses. Why would I do that? I do that because my teaching style, my training style, the topics that I cover may not be the exact right fit for someone, but maybe Karen Thaxton's product is, or maybe Connie Green's product is, or maybe Angela Will's product is. So why would I hide that information from them? Why would I not share that with them? Why would I not say, hey, you might learn something of value from this person's product just because it's not mine? Just because I'm afraid that they're going to go someplace else, that they're going to like Angela better? Maybe they will, but that's okay. Because if they like Angela better, then they didn't really like me to start with, and they weren't really my person to start with. So don't be afraid to build those relationships with your competitors. If you take nothing else away from this webinar today, I hope it's that. I hope that you will go out and build relationships with your competitors. It really is a superpower. So that's engagement, right? Engage with your community, engage with your colleagues, engage with your competitors, build that network. Whether it is through your subscribers or through, you know, friendships with colleagues or collaborations with your competitors, build your network up. That's what's going to help your business to grow. So you're creating content, you're building a list, you're engaging with your community, with your colleagues, you're paying attention to what's going on in the market. Now we get to create our products. This is where we develop your unique approach to solving a problem. I taught a course a few weeks ago on this to my Six Figure Systems group called the Framework Formula. And it's all about developing your unique approach to solving a problem. How can you best help your audience? Do you offer a particular transformation to your audience? Do you solve a pressing problem, or do you help them achieve a big goal? These are all things that your audience may want from you, and understanding what it is they want and how you can help them achieve it is the foundation of building that approach. So a transformation looks like somebody going from disorganized to productive, or going from overweight and out of shape to a marathon runner, or going from frustrated pet owner to confident pack leader, right? That's a transformation. Or maybe you help them solve a problem. Problems often sound like, how do I do this thing? How do I launch an online business? How do I get my toddler to eat something besides chicken fingers? How do I plan for retirement when I'm 60 and I don't have any savings yet? This is solving a pressing problem. Or maybe you help them achieve a big goal. Maybe you help them buy a house or write a novel or run a marathon. Those are big goals that people have. And as coaches and course creators, we often help people find the steps that they need or the process they need to follow to achieve those goals. That's what your approach is all about. That's what your own pillars are all about. That's what your own teaching is all about. And you will learn that by continuing to create content. I'm going to keep coming back to this. The more content you create, the bigger your list grows, the more engaged you are with your community, with your colleagues, with your competitors, the more you will know about how you can best help your audience. And then you can use that information to create the content or the resources that they need. So ask yourself, what have you discovered about your topic? Remember, I said in the beginning that Joan Didion said that she writes so she knows what she thinks. What have you discovered about your topic through that content creation, through engaging with your audience? What insights have you gained about them? Maybe you learned something that you really didn't know about them. I know that I have learned that for my audience, a lot of them feel overwhelmed with all there is to do to build an online business. That's part of the reason why I created this clear framework to really make it clear. We'll say that, to clarify it, to make it simple, to break it down into the core elements so that I could help eliminate some of that overwhelm. So what insights have you gained about your audience throughout this process? What are other people teaching that you disagree with, or what's missing from what others are offering in my niche? Those are the places where you can have a big impact. When you can figure out what's missing, what people really need, and what doesn't exist yet, that's where you can have the biggest impact on your audience. So that's the A in clear. Develop your unique approach. And that might mean you are, you know, building a coaching program or just working out, you know, kind of like, what are the steps that people need to take? What's the process that they need to follow? And then you can take that information, you can take that approach and use it to create the resources that then generate the revenue in your business. So what do I mean by that? Well, you can base your resource planning on what you've learned through content publishing, through list building, through engagement, and through developing your unique approach. And then you use those resources to build what we call a revenue ladder. So what's a revenue ladder look like? Well, a revenue ladder looks like free content on the very bottom rung. This is where you are publishing your blog posts, you're publishing your podcast, you're publishing your YouTube. You are using this content to grow your mailing list. And then you are using that community that you're building to present low-cost content to them. So this would be things that are like under $50, let's say. These are things like templates and trackers and printables and books, maybe tiny courses, anything that's very low-cost, kind of entry level into your world, right? So these are the maybe the first things that people will buy from you. And then you have mid-cost content after that. These are things like courses and workshops and memberships. And then, of course, we have the high-ticket products, cohort courses, group coaching, private coaching, consulting, that type of thing is at the higher tier. But all of this can be built from that unique approach that you developed as a result of clarifying your thinking through content publishing, as a result of building your community and having conversations with them, as a result of engaging with that community, engaging with your colleagues, building that professional network, even with your competitors, and using all of that information that you're bringing in through these processes to really develop your unique take on what's happening in your niche, what's happening in your market. Use that information to then say, okay, what does my market need? What does my audience really need? Maybe they really need a template that I use to do something. Maybe they need my meal planning template that helps me plan meals for a week in 10 minutes and make my grocery list all at the same time. Maybe that's what they really need. Or maybe they really need a book about how to eat healthy on a budget. Whatever it is, whatever you have discovered through that content creation process, through the engagement, through that community building, through engaging with your colleagues and with competitors, whatever it is you've discovered, whatever that gap is in the market, that's where you start creating resources that you can then sell to grow your business. And then you use your content to promote those resources. You use your list to promote those resources. You continue to engage. You continue to collaborate with your competitors, with your colleagues, and you can say, hey, I have this thing and I think your audience would really like it. And then those people become your affiliates and you continue to build out the flywheel of your framework. So your content feeds your list feeds engagement, engagement informs your approach, approach develops those resources, and those resources are then sold through your content and your list, and it just keeps spinning faster and faster and faster. And that's how a solid business is built online. Now, you probably have questions. I see Chris has a question in the chat about publishing a newsletter to build an email list on Substack or Beehive. Can these be good list building channels by adding a byline at the end of each post with a link to your lead magnet? Yes, you can absolutely do that. The benefit of sites like Medium or Substack or Beehive is that they have a built-in audience and they do a really good job of kind of getting their audience to come in and read different things and introduce their built-in audience to different creators. So it's definitely easier than something like blogging where you have to build up your SEO and that can take months and months and months to get, you know, to get Google's attention for a new blog post, for example. But with Substack or LinkedIn or Beehive, the audience is already there. So by publishing on those platforms, then you get to take advantage of that existing audience. So yes, you could definitely put a link to your lead magnet in those places as well. So in terms of questions, I'm going to take you guys' questions too. If you have them, drop them in the chat, raise your hand, whatever works for you. And we'll talk about your, we'll talk about your business. We'll talk about your questions. But some things that come up when I talk to people about this is, do you have to do these things in order? I've had a lot of people ask me, shouldn't I create the thing that I want to sell first? Shouldn't I have a coaching program first before I start writing content about it? Shouldn't I, you know, shouldn't I have an audience first before I start, you know, whatever? I don't think that you have to do these things in order, but I think you are better served if you do, especially if you are new to online business. It is so overwhelming. All of the things that have to happen, all of the plates that have to spin all at the same time to run an online business can be incredibly overwhelming. But if you put your blinders on and say, you know what? All I'm doing is I'm writing content. All I'm doing is publishing content on Medium and the rest will come later. Put those blinders on, create the content, and that will help inform what comes later. That will help that will tell you what to do. It will tell you what your next move is if you just start creating that content. Do you have to do all of these things? Yes. You might be tempted to skip list building. I know a lot of people are. A lot of people tell me, oh, you know, I have a Facebook group and that's where I do all my promotions and that's where my list is, blah, 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 whatever. You don't own that asset. Don't fall into that trap. Email marketing, list building in particular, is the most important thing you can do as an online business owner. Don't ignore that step. Don't ignore any of these steps. Yes, you have to do all of these things to build a successful, sustainable online business. Now, can you find some success not doing any of these things? Sure. I know people who make six figures selling on Etsy. They don't have an email list, but they are entirely dependent on Etsy. And that is not a good place to be. You don't ever want to be entirely dependent on another platform. I know of people who make seven figures a year publishing on Substack. Again, that's a nice gig if you can get it, but it's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. It's all their eggs in one single basket and in a basket that they don't even own. Don't put yourself in that situation. Don't ignore any of these things. You can ignore them for a while, but don't ignore them forever. Don't make the mistake of building your business on somebody else's playground. Where do I start? Start small. One content format published once per week on one channel. One email scheduled once per week to go out to your list. One small product offered for sale to that list. That's where you start. Don't overcomplicate it. How long will this take? Well, building this is where I lose people. Building anything of value takes time. It takes time and effort. It will take longer than you want it to take. That is true of everything. If you are on, I don't know how much I've talked about this. My doctor wants me to lose a little bit of weight, not a ton of weight, but a little bit, to get my numbers down out of the pre-diabetic range. And there's a lot of different ways that you can lose weight. I watched my sister do this her entire life. She would lose a lot of weight. She would get really thin by drinking protein shakes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 2 months. She'd lose 60 pounds, but then she'd gain it all back. And then she would do something else really radical, and then she would gain it all back. And then she would do something else, and then she would gain it all back. And this kind of yo-yo dieting, as you know, is not sustainable. So the same thing is true in business. You can do things that would speed up this process. You can take a radical approach, but it's not sustainable. A better choice, in my mind, is to do the things that we know work, to do the things that are evergreen, to do the things that always work, like content creation and list building and engagement with your community and resource creation. Those things will always work. Will they work really quickly? Probably not, but they will work and they will be sustainable in the end. More sustainable than jumping on the latest bandwagon and, whatever that bandwagon might be. I don't even know, because I got my blinders on. So yes, it will take time, but it is more beneficial than trying to do things very, very quickly. Which leads me to my last question that I get. I need money now. How can I speed this up? We talked about this earlier. More content equals faster growth. Always. That will always be the case. More aggressive engagement equals faster growth. By that, I mean being more visible, being willing to put yourself out there, introducing yourself to those colleagues, to those competitors, talking to your audience more often and more consistently, right? And if you are truly starting, want to start a business that is going to make money right now, then I would look at freelancing. That's your best choice. I see we have some questions in the comments here, so let's get to those. Vicky says, to what extent should your framework be developed for sharing with your audience? I'm not sure what you're asking, Vicky, but I will tell you that I believe that your framework, your approach, makes the very best free lead magnet. And I'll tell you why. And I give this, I don't give this training away, this training that you guys are on here, but I give away the Clear Framework. I have a PDF guide. Probably you got it when you signed up for this. At least I hope you got it. I give that away for free. And the reason I do that is for a couple of different reasons. Number one, it helps people to understand where I'm coming from and what I teach and what my philosophy is. And it also lets them know that I know what I'm talking about and that I can take them from where they're at right now to where they want to go. And also, it gives them what they need to get started. So they can take that framework, they can take that PDF that I give them, and they can use that to build a business, and they can do that without me. There's a lot of self-starters out there. I'm one of them. I I'm not one to I buy courses to learn a specific thing, but it's not super common. I'm not a course collector. I'm more of a DIYer. So by giving people my framework, by giving it to them for free, I'm saying to those DIYers, here you go. You can take this and run with it. You can do what you need to do to build an online business. And if you get stuck, I'm here. If you get stuck, if you need more help, if you need more information, if there's some way I can help you, here I am. But you can take this and run with it. And I think that's a really powerful way to be seen as more credible by your audience, to be seen as someone who is really looking out for their best interest, to be really helpful to them and to grow your audience faster just by being super helpful and by offering the tools that they need even for free. Caitlin says, I appreciate that you say things take time. It stresses me when groups try to lead you into rushing, like they have a bundle coming up and they tell everyone your lead magnet doesn't matter, just make something. And that feels very stressful to me because I want a plan in place, not just throwing random stuff out there to participate in current opportunities. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. However, what can happen, especially in that situation, Caitlin, what can happen with that is you create something and you inadvertently wind up attracting the wrong audience. And this is really easy to do, especially if you're kind of just getting started. I have a friend who found himself in this situation where he participated in a bundle that was not really the right audience for him, and he ended up getting a few hundred people on his mailing list, but they weren't the right people on his mailing list. They weren't the right audience for him. They weren't the right audience for his offers ultimately. So he's paying to have these people on his mailing list that are never going to buy from him. So it wasn't really a good fit for him. And that can happen if you try to skip over the steps of, content creation and list building and engagement, because you don't know yet where your audience is or what they need or who they even are or what you even think. So skipping over those steps can lead to mistakes like that. And we've all made mistakes like that. I've done it myself. I've built a list of, from bundles that weren't a good fit for me too. But hopefully you guys are here and you will learn from my mistakes and the mistakes of my friends and not do those same things. Vicky says, I can see where I'm at in the process, what I need to do next, how to set priorities, and how to keep things in perspective. Excellent. That's awesome. That's awesome, Vicky. All right. What other questions do you guys have? If you want to, you can raise your hand. You can unmute yourself and talk to me. I'm going to stop sharing this. I will send you the mind map if you would like to have that to refer back to. Yeah. So I would love to hear from you. We have a few minutes left here. If you want to talk about your business and how you can get started, if you have questions specific to your business, if you have questions about anything I covered, if you are unclear about something, let's talk about it. Santu says, will we get a replay? Yes, ma'am. Always. I did hit the record. Yes, I did. It's always a fear that I'm going to promise a replay and then forget to hit the record button. But we are recording, so yes, you will get a replay. All right, I don't see any other questions, so I think I will let you guys go. And if you have questions after this, if something comes up, feel free to email me. You can always email me. I'm at cindy@cindybedard.com, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Sometimes it takes me a couple days to get back to you, but I will get back to you. So, Paula says, this was a great webinar. Thanks for sharing, Clear. You are very welcome. I hope you guys will take it, run with it, build your business, create your list, create your content, engage with your community, engage with your colleagues and your competitors, and use this information to build something amazing. Talk to you all later. Have a great day, everyone.